How many here during the week pick up the Bible and read the Word of God? Can I do that? That's good. That's good. Because it's very important to do that, to hear the Word of God during the week. Sunday is just like a cheerleading camp to get us ready for another week. Amen? To hear the Word of God. It's so important to let the Word of God come into your life during the week, because there's a lot of things of putting things into your life that's not of God. Amen? I mean, yeah? Amen. Anybody watch TV?
Yeah.
Okay. Talk to people? Okay. So you have hours and hours of stuff being brought into your life that's not of God. Not ordained by God. Not used by God. So it's either by God or by Satan. Amen? I mean, that's the bottom line. There's no neutral ground. There's no, well, it's not that bad. Well, it's not that bad and it's not good. Okay? And what God wants us to understand is that in order for us to have what He wants us to have, we have to be totally committed to Him. You know, my opinion means nothing. What you believe, Jack, you have to be in my sight here, means nothing to me. It's what God says. Amen? You hear that, church? Remember that. It's not what I believe or think that matters. It's what God says. Now, if I think and believe according to God's Word, it means a lot to me. But if it's outside the Word of God, it has one thing in line. It is to destroy you. Do you ever hear anybody give you an opinion?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, it's just my opinion. Well, I had my car worked on yesterday. Bob Donnelly put brakes on my car. Okay. He knew how to put them on. He's done them before. I've had people testify to me that he's a good mechanic, that he can do that kind of stuff. Okay?
And you believed them?
And I believed them. Yep. I did. I had enough faith on that I gave him my car that my wife drives to put brakes on, which is very important to bring my bride back to me every day. I had faith in you. I trusted you to do that. Okay?
Check those out.
But it came about because I heard about Bob, I studied about Bob, I heard opinions about Bob, and I researched it myself, and I let Bob do it. And folks, our walk with God has to be the same way. Someone might give you an opinion, but research it and make sure. When I tell you that Jesus Christ said that He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one gets to heaven, no one goes to the Father except through Him, that's my opinion, based upon fact. What you want to do is, okay, where's that at? Well, John 14, verse 6. Go to it. See the Word of God. Read it yourself. And base your faith upon that. You hear me, church? It's really important, because everyone has an opinion out there about everything. Okay, they do. People have the opinion about automobiles, baseball teams, all that kind of stuff. And who cares if people like the Cleveland or they like Texas, okay? What makes a difference in our life is the opinion that we have with the Word of God. The Word of God is true.
Amen?
It is. Everything in here is truth. It's not a lie. It's not make-believe. It's God's love letter to His creation. So here, this is what you do. Walk this way, He says. Walk this way. Not an opinion. Not an option. Do this. It's life can be so simple that we can't understand it. We make it so complicated because we try to make this life the way what we want. How we want things to be. And God had it all planned out already. You know, Jeremiah 29:11, we shared many times with you that He knows the plans He has for you. If you're sitting here today, He has a plan for you. If He has a plan for you, He has a path for you to follow. Amen?
Amen.
He does. I mean, we give God credit for that. He knows the number of the days He has made for you upon this earth. He said, I'll provide for you. I'll take care of you. I created you for a reason. You know, it's like many of you ladies, when you don't have a baby, you spent 9 months preparing for him. Some of you, you take a room that you throw out the husband's pool table and stuff, and wait benches, and you bring in a paint crew and you paint it, you color scheme it, you're out and you get baby beds and these changey things and all kind of stuff. You prepare for it for when the day the child arrives, you can take care of it. And God did the same thing for us. He created all this stuff for us before He made us. Because He loves us and cares for us. Now, we blew it in the garden. We know that. Mankind did. But Jesus Christ bought us back through His blood. He's paid for our sins. If we're going to receive that payment, we can argue with Him all the time. Say, nope, yep, I'm not accepting Christ. I'll go to hell and pay my own sins. We can do that. But we don't want to, do we? God doesn't want that. He doesn't want that at all. But when we come to the fact that this is truth, then in order to know what God has planned for your life and how to do what God wants you to do is to believe and hear the Word of God. Too many times our life is upside down because we stepped outside the Word of God. We did things that we thought were right, but in the eyes of God they were wrong. And like I say, that's when you open that door up and you let the evil one come into your life. You can do it unintentionally, or you can say, I don't care. But either way, he's going to come in. So a lot of times in our lives it's upside down because we allow the evil one to come into our life. And other times it's upside down because he's coming anyway. He wants to come anyway. He wants to come and destroy us. You hear me, church? Well, if you're here today as a born-again Christian, or you came in today just to hear the Word of God, Satan doesn't want, he don't love you. He wants to destroy you. And he won't be happy till he does. And he goes after your family, and he goes after all this. He's never happy. He's never complete. He wants to continually to attack us. And he does that. He does that, but God gave us His Word as our defense mechanism in order to protect us. Why do we get sick? Because of sickness in the world. Amen? But He promised to deliver us from that. Just because you're sick doesn't mean you're in sin. Hear me, church? I want you to understand that. Just because you're sick today doesn't mean you're walking around in sin. But what God wants you to do, check it. Make sure you're not. Amen? Be honest with you. Look in that mirror and say, okay, God, what am I doing? Or look at the Word of God. And when He speaks to your heart and says, this is sin, then you have an option. Get out of it or stay in it and pay the penalties. You know, and I don't mean this in a bad way, but husbands, sometimes we get nagging wives, do we not? And they won't stop until we do something. For some reason, we just can't lay on the couch. I'm Jack. But in reality, you look at what their talents do. It's something that needs done around the house. Amen. You know, it might be a leaky faucet, you know, and we told them for 3 weeks, well, we'll get to take care of it. And then you just lay down, hey, you get that faucet taken care of? Come on, come on, come on. Well, in reality, we need to fix it because it's costing us money if you got to pay for your water bill, right? Okay, the nag is out of love. Well, that's the same way the Holy Spirit, if I can say it that way, the Holy Spirit will nag you out of love. You know, you can say, man, I just don't feel good. I just, there's something about this I'm doing. I just don't feel good. Well, stop and look. What is it? What is it the Holy Spirit is trying to bring to your attention that, man, this thing is not right? You get out of it. He loves you enough to make you miserable. Now I understand your love, huh? Oh, no. But He loves you not enough to not allow you. No, He'll allow you. He loves you enough to let you know when you're in the area in your life that you're in sin. He'll let you know, but give you the option to either get out of it or not. We've all sinned, the Bible tells us, but we all need forgiveness of that sin. And I don't care what church you go to this morning, they're picking up a Bible. It's in here. Again, it's not what they believe or what they think, it's what the Word of God says. Now, one thing's important in our life. I shared this last week when I was closing. And that was Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. Says, he tells us this. This prophet of God says that my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Think of that. He said his people are destroyed. And one thing that jumps out to me, he doesn't say, you are destroyed for lack of knowledge, but he says, my people. So that's a lot broader sense. You know what I'm saying? It's one thing if I do something and it destroys me. But if I do something and it destroys other people, that's on a lot heavier scale, I believe. Mm-hmm. But knowledge, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. It's the knowledge of God, knowledge of His Word.
Right.
You know, in the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, it describes knowledge is learning, or something to be known by an individual when knowledge applies to facts or ideas, which is acquired by study, investigation, observation, or experience. So as we wrap that around, we'll say, you know, God said, hey, my people have been destroyed because they have a lack of knowledge of me. They're not studying my word. They're not following my word. They're not investigating what I say to do. They're not observing it, and they're not experiencing it. How do you know what the driving requirements are in the state of Ohio? How do you know which laws, what the laws are? You have to study it. Amen? And they change all the time, don't they? I mean, they change all the time. I've been retired 12 years from that, and they keep changing. So you got to keep studying. You got to keep refreshing your memory of them.
Right.
Well, God is awesome is that God never changes. So you study His Word, you know He'll be the same tomorrow and the next year and the year after. Right. But what we need to do is study it. It's kind of like going through life. It might be, you know, you don't study the Word of God, you don't follow the Word of God. You're not that concerned of it because you look at you got 30 or 40 or 50 more years ahead of you. You got plenty of time to cramp your style, plenty of time to give up that sins that you enjoy. But in reality, you're not guaranteed tomorrow, right? Now, if you get in your car to go on a trip and you're going to California, and you know you got to go a few thousand miles, you know when the end is coming. You know, maybe 2 days, 3 days, maybe 4 days. If you have bald tires on the car, you're going to stop and change them tires before you leave, right? Because you know you're not going to make it out there the way they are. You can see the end coming.
Right.
Well, we need to live our lives the same way. We need to live our lives with God the same way. Is that we plan as if we're going to live forever, which we are in heaven. Amen. But we live as if tomorrow is our last day. Not to put off things today. Because we might not be here tomorrow. That's not the scary. I mean, if I tell you put your hand over your heart, or you one heartbeat away and step into eternity, that's not to scare you. That's just telling, hey, you gotta get ready. You know? Be encouraged, shall I say. Now, the plan and purpose that God has for you when He first created mankind, He knows how many heartbeats you'll have here upon this earth. Well, if He knows how many heartbeats I'm going to have, why do I got to do anything? He knows how many heartbeats He had planned for you from the very beginning. Okay? But if we step out the will of God, then heartbeats can be shortened. Amen?
Amen.
Now, I'm not saying that you're dying, go to hell. Don't get me wrong on that. As a Christian, I'm just saying that we can get ourselves outside the will of God, get ourselves to the point where God had 30 more years planned for Starkey, but because I did not allow the Word of God to have every aspect of my life, I died early. What do you mean? Well, number one, is your body a temple? Amen. Okay. Does He not say, eat and moderately? Let nothing consume you. Let nothing control you. Okay. So I can refuse to yield myself to that and eat too many donuts. Now, I know it's funny, but listen to that, church. I can put my body at risk not being healthy. And go years before He had planned for me to do that, to leave.
Yeah.
But If I allow the Word of God to govern my life, I know every day that I have upon this earth and the day that I go home was ordained by Him. You know, Methuselah, 969 years old, he completed what God called him to do. John the Baptist, 30 years, 6 months. Wow, that's a lot of difference. That's 960, help me out, 38 years different. You say, well, what was wrong with John the Baptist? Not a thing. He lived out the life that God called him to do. He did the purpose, acknowledging that Jesus Christ was coming in the flesh, pointed him out, that he serves his purpose, and God said, okay, I'm going to take you up here to heaven. Come to your reward, exactly what it is. When we leave this world, it's coming to our rewards. But he said that my people will perish because of the lack of knowledge. So what we want to do is hear the Word of God and apply it. And what God wants us to do is to trust Him. How many people in here today trust God? Okay. So to trust God is allowing His Word to govern every footstep that you take, every word that you speak. Think of that. In Psalms 56, verse 4, he says, in God, whose word I praise, in God I have put my trust. I shall not be afraid. What can mere man do to me? And the awesome part is, I have put my trust in God. I shall not be afraid. See, fear is not from God. So as we allow Christ to be our Savior and Lord, as we allow the Word of God to govern what we say, what we do, where we go, there's no reason to be afraid of, because you gave complete control to God. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I feel no evil, for thy rod and thy staff is with me. Wow. But when we know that we're outside of the will of God, of the will that God has for our life, we can experience fear. We can be afraid because we don't have that protection. You hear me? When we do things on our own that's outside of the will of God, we know we're gambling. And it can bring fear into our life. It goes to that point, well, I know I shouldn't have done that, but we open ourselves up for fear to come. But as we follow the Word of God, whether it's in our jobs, our lives at home, our conversations, as we allow God to be number one in our life, we know whatever enters our way, we have no fear because God is watching over me. I'm not yielding nothing to the enemy. He can't come and take me out as I walk with God. God will decide what comes into my life. Amen? Amen? But God wants you to learn to trust Him 100%. And that's the key word, is putting our trust in God. The only way that God can do what God can do is we allow Him to do what He needs to do in our lives. That's a lot of do's. But again, the only way God can do what God can do is if we allow Him to do what He needs to do in our lives. When we start putting restrictions on God, we're putting restrictions on our own life. Now, I quoted earlier Jeremiah 29:11. Again, God was speaking to Jeremiah, which applies to us, because God's not a respecter of person. He says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare, not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. So there again, he says right there, I know the plans I have for you is to take care of you. The welfare is taking care of us, and not for trouble, and to give you a future and a hope. So right here today, if we're gathered here and you don't have much of a future or hope, good news is you can. As we allow God's plan in our lives to take place. Well, what is my plan? His number one plan is for you to return to Him. Right. Through His Son, Jesus Christ. To receive forgiveness of your sins. And allow Him to help you. I mean, parents, we love helping our children. But But sometimes it's waiting for them to access. Amen? We don't butt into their lives. Sometimes we sit back and we, oh man, I wish you wouldn't do that. I wish you wouldn't go there. Carol said, well, come on, Stargate, it's their lives. I know, but if they just do what I want them to do. But then you get that phone call saying, hey, Dad, Mom, yeah, I need help making this decision. Boy, you just wait for that call. And God is the same way today for us. As a born-again Christian, you're a child of God. John 1:10 tells us that. You're a child of God. And He has all the wisdom and knowledge in the world. He's just waiting for us to turn to Him and say, hey. And He said, yes. He'll give you that direction. If we're not born again, we are not a child of God. In fact, the Bible says that your father is the father of the devil. Now, that's hard to swallow there, folks, but you got to realize that. Sometimes we think we're all children of God, but we're not. We're not children of God until we turn to Him through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, you got to be born of the Spirit. Not the flesh, but the Spirit. See, the spirit of mankind died in Genesis. When Adam and Eve sinned, the spirit that God breathed into Adam, it died. Right. And now we need to be born again by accepting Jesus Christ. And when we do that, the Spirit of living God comes back into our life. Now we're His child. Otherwise, we're His creation. But He yearns for you to come to Him. But the only way we can do that is through His Son, Jesus Christ. How much He wants you to seek Him. But He says also, "You, when you seek me and find me, when you search for me with all your heart." Now, that's a lot right there, all your heart. That's a lot of searching, if I can say it that much. That's a commitment. Okay? Do we really want God in our life? He wants to be there. But He says, I want you to come after me with all your heart. I'd be like when I'm dating my wife. You know, I say, hey, hon, you want to go see a movie tonight and have a dinner afterwards? I don't know. I don't care. Whatever you want to do. I'm trying to get to know her, and she don't really care about hanging out with me. I want her to say, yes, I do. Yes, come on, we'll go, and I'll even help pay for it. You know, whatever it is. I want to have a relationship with her. I want her to have the same relationship with me. I want her to want me, to know me, understand me, to see what I'm about. And the only way I can do that is surrender my heart to her, her heart to me. That's with God today. Too many times we try this God thing, but we don't really. We throw up His name, but we don't allow Him to come into our life to be God. Because a lot of times we're not really, really ready to commit our life to Jesus Christ. We want fire insurance when the house is on fire. But we don't want a security system to prevent it. That's what God needs, total access to you. You might be sitting here today and maybe you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. But is He your Savior and is He your Lord? My wife and I exchanged wedding vows 40 years ago. Now we could coexist together, have a piece of paper that said yes we did, but we don't have to be married. Marriage is this. Is us coming together, commitment. I might have a piece of paper that says yes on September the 3rd, 1976. We exchange wedding vows, okay? But if I don't have a relationship with my wife, if we don't communicate and talk and share and hang out together, if we're totally separated, I'm only married to her on paper. You hear me, church? And God doesn't want that in our relationship. Jesus looks at us as the bride, His bride. We are the bride of Christ. Yes, and being one is what He's looking at. The bride of Christ. But if it's only in a piece of paper you might have hanging on your wall that says, you know, I got born again and baptized on this date. That's awesome if you got it. But do you have Him? I was talking to a gentleman a few weeks ago, and I'm waiting to get back with him because I asked him, I said, okay, if you're ready, are you ready if you would die today? Tough question, but hey, we need to ask some questions. And he looked at me and said, I think so. I did that church thing a few years ago. And it broke my heart just by being baptized, you think, well, I did that church thing. Wow. I'd be like Meg saying, Stark, are you married? Well, yeah, I did that church thing 40 years ago. You know what I'm saying? My comment, oh, Meg, I got married 40 years ago. I'll tell you what, it's an awesome time. I mean, we've had ups and downs, but I just start talking about the marriage. When I say, hey, are you ready when the Lord comes back? Or if you die today? Well, yes, I am. I gave my heart to Jesus January 2nd, 2000, at 6:35 p.m. up in Roscoe Hill. I've been walking with him ever since. I've seen him raise me up off of my sick bed. I've seen him do this with my family. When you ask that question, normally you can't shut a Christian up. Amen? Because we want to brag what the Lord has done. So, this morning, are you? Are you truly a follower of Jesus? Or we just have a piece of paper hoping that on Judgment Day or when you die, you take this piece of paper and say, oh, here, I got reservations. See, our names have to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life, not on a piece of sheepskin. Again, it goes back to the Word of God, that He wants you to understand His Word. That way you know His Word, and that way you do not perish. Amen? I mean, it's awesome. It's simple in a way. You know, maybe you accepted Jesus. Maybe you've been baptized. And you walked away. All you have to do is turn back to Him. Hear me, church. You don't have to go through anything except, Jesus, forgive me. I surrender you back, your Lordship back to my life. I had a fellow ask me the other day, I want to be rebaptized. I need to be rebaptized. He said, I got born again. I got baptized years ago, but I walked away from Him. I said, no, you don't have to be. Ask Him back into your life. And then, I recommend to stand up in the middle of a church service and say, hey, listen, I want to make an announcement. I got a praise report. I was a backslider for years, but I had turned my life over to Jesus again, and I asked Him to forgive me my sin, and He came back to my life. Because then your ears will hear what your voice just confessed.
Right.
Otherwise, you'd be more apt to fall back again. Because if you testify the day that you gave back your life back to the Lord and you're going to follow Him again, if I see you next week doing something, I'll bring it at your attention. Hey, brother, you just confessed the Lord. Don't fall back into sin. That way you're held accountable. And it's not a bad thing. We all need to be held accountable. Amen? We need, out of love, we need to be held accountable. That is love. That is love. But again, it goes back to the Word of God. And when you search for me with all your heart, and that means studying His Word that you want to. Oh, when I was dating my wife, I found out where she worked at, what time she got off. I mean, today you'd probably call me a stalker, maybe. I don't know. But it was a good stalker. You know what I'm saying? I want to know what kind of music she listened to, her friends. I mean, I couldn't get enough of her. And I still can't. You know what I'm saying? I still love her. Do we have spats? Yeah, she makes some mistakes once in a while. But other than that, no. It's always her. No, just kidding. I mean, marriage, a relationship with God is like a relationship in a marriage. You'll have ups and downs. But in the relationship with God, He's always right. We are the ones that either don't understand or we make the mistake. Hear me, church? And He's always waiting for us to come back to Him. He wants us to return to Him. Amen? Amen. But if we put restraints on God, if we say, God, come into my life, and we don't surrender everything to Him, we can't allow God to be God in our life. Let me make sure I said that right. God truly isn't God in our life. Yes. Jesus is described to us as our Savior and our Lord, right? Because a Savior will pull you out of trouble. If I put it this way, a lifeguard can save your life if you're drowning. He pulls you to shore. But then what He tells you, don't walk out that pier again. Because you do, you're going to fall right back in again. Okay? Now, that's His Lordship. He's telling me what to do. He saved me. Now the Lord is telling me what to do. Lordship. Same way with Jesus. He'll save you from your sin, but He has to become your Lord. Otherwise, you walk back into Him. And the wages of sin is always death, separation from God completely. now for eternity. So when we put restraints on God, say, well, you can come in my life here, but don't touch my Friday nights. Yeah. Or, listen, I've watched that movie for years. It's a good movie. I just close my eyes at the negative parts. Well, I just don't listen to those words. It's such a good movie. It's art. I mean, whatever it is you might be involved with, you know. I mean, you used to be involved with. Or you're involved with it today. All those things. God wants everything surrendered to you. To Him. When we don't, we put restraints on Him. And then we complain about Him. We blame God for everything that goes wrong in our life. Right? I mean, at one time we probably have. Because we have been told, and we've mentioned here before, that we say that God is in control. God was in charge of making everything. In Genesis, He gave mankind control. Gave us dominion, that's control. We gave it to Satan when we sinned. Then the Master came and bought it back on the cross. Now, when we are born again, we accept Christ and we turn our life over to the Lord. Give it back to God. Now He's in control of our life if we allow Him to be in control of our life. You say, well, why does bad things still happen? Because there's evil out there. That evil is going to exist until the coming of the Lord. And it's only going to get worse. But when we surrender completely to Him, we know we're in His will. We know the days He had purpose for us, and the plans will take place. And the plans doesn't necessarily mean it's all for you. It's a plan that He has for you, for someone else. How many people here have ever, when you got saved, you actually testified to someone about Jesus, and they either come to church and heard, you got born again, or you got born again, you prayed with on the street corner. The whole purpose of your life could have been that. I mean, that's all He had for me? One duty? Just one person? Well, I'll ask you this. If that one person was you, would it be worth it? Amen. You know, if you lived to be 100 years old and one person you spoke to came to know Jesus, it means everything to that one person. Amen. The plan He has, we're not all called to be Billy Grahams. Okay? But we've all been called. And we allow God total access in every area of our life, our thought process. What you're thinking right now, hey, get out of there, Satan. Satan will come to you right here. He'll try to put thoughts in your head right now. He's saying, that pastor gained some weight, didn't he? But does he not? I preached a sermon one time, Kathy, I got done, and some guy wanted to talk to me. I couldn't wait. Yes. He said, did you know you missed the belt loop back here where your belt is? But, you know, it was a distraction. Amen? Everybody preaching up here, and somebody walked down the street, and you're doing this number? Yeah, that's a distraction. I mean, I'm not saying Satan pulled him there, but it don't take much to distract you from the Word of God. But it's so important for us to hear the Word of God. We need to find ourselves a place that we can shut ourselves in and be uninterrupted when we're studying the Word of God. Amen? But when we study it, do it with the purpose of following the Word of God. Right. Remember, our God doesn't change. Amen? Mm-hmm. Don't hold back any restraints. And I shared this demonstration the other night. It's kind of like when I was in law enforcement. I talk to people all the time, and they might come to me and say, I got this problem with my kid. He's unruly. I just can't take care of him. Well, what should I do? And I said, well, just, you know, give me a call. Call the office. I'll come over. And I'll take care of it. Sometimes it might have been neighbors. I can't stand my neighbors. They party all the time. They make noise. I can't sleep. Well, just call. That's what I'm here for. Call. Invite me into the situation. And I'll do what I can. I can't come unless I know. Amen. I mean, you can complain to me all day. Day long, I'll start you with a cop for 30 years. You never come help me. Did you ever call me? Okay?
Right.
Well, here's but take a scenario, and this is the best I can come up with, but take a, I'm talking to a lady, and she's telling me about her husband. She said, I don't know what to do anymore, I can't take it no more. He's abusive to me, he comes home drunk all the time, I don't know what to do. Well, honey, you don't need to put up with that. That you, no one needs to put up with that. When it happens, call me. Mm-hmm. I'll come over and I'll take care of things for you. Just call me. I can't help you if I don't know. So, one evening I get a phone call. She wants help. Invited me into the situation. I go over there and he's drunk, raising all kind of cane, threatening her. So I go to arrest him. And the minute I start to arrest him, she goes, no! Don't! I said, what? You can't arrest him. What do you mean I can't? You can't. Lady, he's been beating on you. He's been threatening you. He's drunk. I'm taking him out of here. Don't do that. Because if you do, how will I feed my kids? How will I pay the rent? Who do you want me? Lady, if you want me to help you, don't tell me what I can do. Let me do what I know what to do. Trust me. Get out of here. So the next thing is, boy, them cops never help nobody. I called them one night, come over help me, and wouldn't do nothing. Hear me, church? What did she do? I called her. I talked to her. I said, man, you know, just call me. Invite me into your problem. I'm trained. I can take care of this problem for you. You don't need to go through this. But when I entered in that room, yes, she put energy. She restrained me. Put restrictions on me. She wanted help, but just enough. But same scenario. Calls, I need help. He's being abusive, he's drunk, he's tearing the place up. I want you to come. You told me to call, I'm calling. So I come, I go into the house, I arrest the man. She said, oh, but he might lose his job. I said, ma'am, it might happen. But you call me here to help you. If I can help you, or I can leave. Go ahead, take him. Take him out. So I arrest him. Take him to jail. She has peace in her household now. It's quiet. But while he's in jail, he loses his job. But while he's in jail, something happens to him. He realizes what he was. He realized what he was putting his wife and children through. He realized that alcohol was destroying his family. So while he's in there, he confessed Jesus Christ as his Savior and Lord. Invited him into his life. When he was released, he went back to his wife. And there she is, she has peace in the home. Her kids aren't scared of daddy. Daddy's born again. And as a child of God, he gets a job. But look how scary it was, though, for her. Think of that. How scary it was knowing that when she had him arrested, that she was going to lose everything in her eyes. But, trusting me, when I said, listen, let me do what I need to do. You can't live like this. Don't restrain me. And she didn't. Say, okay, I don't understand. I don't know how it's going to work. Get him out of here. And because of not restraining me, her life was turned around. Right. At one time, she thought it was going to fall in on top of her. But it turned around. And folks, it's the same way with God today. God is a million times greater than what that scenario is. When you invite God into a situation where you try to put restraints on Him, He cannot do what He needs to do in your life, and it might scare you to death. You might say, well, how can I quit my job? Why? How can you quit your job? As you invite God into your life, He tells you quit dealing them drugs. It's very simple to quit. Walk away from it. Well, how can I do it? You trust God. Don't put restraints on His life. And too many times we put restraints on Him. Then we complain that God doesn't do anything for me. God never blesses me. Because we restrain Him. It can be scary. Because we are so used to living our life in the cardinal. We are so used to act just the way it is. Or that's just the way she is. That's just the way he is. And we just adjust to it. And God doesn't want that anymore. He wants Him to be established in your life, in your homes. He wants every step that you take to be His. Everything that proceeds from your mouth, He wants to be His words. What I mean by that, He wants to govern your thought process, your words. Too many times you speak things into existence that comes back and bites you. Just because that's what's coming into your life all week long. You ever go down south? I go down there and I come back a week later and I got a little twang in my voice. Anybody else do that or not? Just me? I don't know how it is. You get in there and try to sell you these grits anyway. But you're around this for a week or so and you start getting this twang in your voice. So when you hang around people that are not Christian, when you hang around the world is going to come upon you, and before you know it, you will be talking and acting like they are. Now, same scenario, turn it around. You have 4 or 5 Christian friends, you have someone that's not born again, it's different now. Because you're speaking the Word of God, you're living for God, you're sharing God, and that will rub off onto them. Piece by piece, little by little. But we are the salt of the earth. That means we should be bringing flavor to the lives that we're around. You know, salt right out of the shaker can taste terrible. But when it's sprinkled on something, it adds to the taste. And it brings out the flavor. And that's what we are to do. Every conversation that we have, we should turn it around to be flavorful. You know, if someone's talking negative, to say how bad their life is and how terrible it is, and it might be true. We say, well, thank God, though, for Jesus. What? Well, He can turn it around if we allow Him. Do you just want to complain about your life, or do you want to change your life? Amen, church? Most people just want to complain about it. I mean, beyond, I'm not saying you guys, I'm just saying in honesty, most people want to complain instead of finding something to praise God about. Remember, what we speak is very powerful. So make sure we speak the things that God wants us to speak. Make sure we allow God into our life to be totally into our life, not to put restrictions on Him. He has a plan and purpose for you. He wants that to take place. But it's up to us. It's up to us. In Romans chapter 1, I'll read you a few verses here. But the intent here is to let you know that you might be doing this borderline. You might be part God and part devil. Okay? And really, you're all devil because God won't share Himself with nobody. Hear me? He's a jealous God. But today, as you consider to stay in the sins that you're in, and you think, well, maybe next week, next month, I'll do what the preacher said, and I'll just ask God to come in my life, I'll repent for my sins. But, you know, I got $600 on the reservation next week. If I get saved today, I can't take her with me. ever have an engagement somewhere that you already got reserved and you know you shouldn't go there? The Holy Spirit convicts you, but you say, well, if I had already paid for it, I wouldn't go. Seriously, have you? I mean, we grow as Christians, amen? You know, we grow every day, and what right now that we're involved with, 6 months now, God will reveal it to you as you study His Word. Hey, that is sin. And you're allowing this to come into your life. It still has the same effect on your life whether you know it or not. You know, if I stand here today and I had a disease that was catchy, okay? I don't, Daryl, okay? Whether you know I have that disease or not, if I cough on you, you're going to catch it, right? Amen. Amen. So just because you're in sin today, you don't have any repercussions on it, doesn't mean it's not destroying your life. It will. It will. But we get things and we put a value on it. Oh, you get DirecTV. You get Dish Network. You get any type. And they try to always do this to you. For the first 90 days, you get free HBO, Cinemax. We even throw in the Playboy Channel for free for 90 days or 6 months, however long it is. So, you're sitting there going through all these channels. Oh, man. I shouldn't. It's free. I'll go ahead and watch it. I'm not paying for it. But 3 months from now, I'm going to get rid of that thing. You know what? Come on, church. When that Holy Spirit's convicting you, hey, that is, no. But I didn't pay for it, God. You know? You can't hold me accountable for it, you know? Yeah, yeah. Or when Carol shares a couple of times that, you know, a thought isn't a sin. When you have a thought, that's not a sin. But when you capture that thought and you dwell on it, if it's sin, it's sin then. So is that like 5 or 6 second rule? And guys, we can't go through the channels for 5 seconds, get off and go back again for 5 seconds, get off and go back. You know what I'm saying? You're capturing that thought right then. Right. But we draw a line, so God, I would do this, but I've already committed in this. And so as soon as it runs out, God, I won't do it no more. When He brings it to your attention that this thing is sin, now you're held accountable for it greater than ever before. You decide, do you want God in your relationship? Do you want Jesus Christ to be your Savior and Lord? Do you want that penalty that He paid for our sins paid for, or do you want to take it back? Don't let monetary things stop you from honoring God in your life. He will provide all our needs. Some of the wants you have right now, you might lose some of them because they're really destroying your life. What I mean by that? Well, I want a new boat, I want a new this, I want a new that, and you spend all your entire life trying to pay for it. And it's destroying you. Destroying your relationship, maybe with your spouse, because you're too busy working to pay for the stuff that you can't enjoy your life together. You're too busy that you can't honor God in your relationship, in your life. You don't have time to come to church. You don't have time to come to fellowship with other people because of trying to hang out all those wants. And some of the vehicles anymore, I don't know how they sell them. They cost more in my house. I couldn't imagine. I mean, if you can afford it, fine. I'm not talking against your money, but I couldn't afford a $700 a month car payment. It would scare me to death. You know? That might be a want, but it's not a need. But He tells us in Romans chapter 1, verse 18, that for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth. And unrighteousness because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made so that they are without excuse. And what He's saying, hey, listen, everything that ever drew a breath, every person that ever lived, they know there's a God. Right there. There's no excuse right now. There's a God. People say, I don't believe in God. They're lying to themselves. Because they believe that if they deny the existence of God, that they can walk in their life the way they want to and not feel guilty of it. Well, I don't believe there's a God. That way you don't feel guilty when you continue to do the sins that you're doing. But it doesn't change anything, does it? Denying something doesn't change a thing. It just puts it out of your mind. But you can't walk out. So I was sitting there last night, had my evening coffee out home, and it's just about dark. And I listened to the birds. They're gathering in the trees. Chirp, 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 chirp. Little squirrels running around. Cat was coming up and stealing my other cat's food. All these things. And this goes through my mind. Number one, God, I thought, our cat has a soup kitchen. Because our cat will eat his dinner. Then he'll cry. And I'll put more food out. He'll leave and I'll see up from the road a black cat will come sneaking around. Up the steps behind my back. I don't see him. And eat the food and take off again. God, you have a way providing for those things that you created. And the birds are chirping. I thought, you know, what are they saying, Lord? Because it's just about dark, they all quiet. Were they praising you, Lord? Were they talking to you? So God, you made us to be like this. You made mankind to sit in the garden and enjoy your creation and the peacefulness. So God, help us return to that again. And for about 30 minutes, it's just like, I don't know, it was awesome. It was beautiful. You can't sit outside and deny that there's a God. Not to be honest with yourself. And God's desire is His creation, the stars in the heaven, the men, will cause a person to search Him. Look Him out. Find out who He is. That's what He wants us to do. But in verse 21 says, "For even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks. But they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man, and of birds, and four-footed animals, and crawling creatures." They made little replicas of things to worship. And maybe you're doing that today. Maybe yours might be your car, that you worship your car. How do I do that? Well, you spend all your time on it. Or maybe it's your bank account that you honor all the time. So therefore God gave them over in the lust of their hearts to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever and ever. He turned them over. And what He's saying today, He will turn us over. He will someday will come a point that if you stay in your lust and in your sins and deny God, say, listen, I've done everything I could. Witnesses sent to you, the Holy Spirit spoken to you. If you want that way of life, that's yours. And so next week, when you're thinking about, well, maybe next week I'll change my life, you won't have that desire. You'll be so involved in your sins that the truth won't do a thing to you anymore. That's why the Word of God says today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow. But a point comes where He'll turn us over. You know, it's kind of like maybe raising your children, and a point comes, I told them, okay, you want to do it? Do it your way, I'm done. Go do it your own way. You just turn them over to their own desires. Amen? But in the background, you're still praying for them to come home, right? God the same way. He'll turn us over to their desires. That's what you want, that's it. But it doesn't mean that you can't come back. But I'll tell you what, that desire for you to come back won't be there like it was before. You're turned over to it. Verse 26 says, "For this reason God gave them over to the degrading passions. For the women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way also the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned into desire towards one another. Men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own person the due penalty of their error." That has not changed. Now that's very popular right now, is it not, church? That is something for y'all, don't judge me, I can do this, I can do that. No, you can do it. But it's sin. Same as committing adultery. Same as fornication. Men laying with men is a sin. Women with women is a sin. Men and women with animals is a sin. It will never be blessed by God. Those who practice such things shall not see the kingdom of God. It doesn't change. Don't matter what we pass in Congress. Don't matter what you think. No matter what you believe. It's what the Word of God says. He says out of love. Hear me, church. Out of love. And He wants the love that He has deposited in your hearts to share the truth with people. Even though you might be persecuted, you might be called a homophobic, or I think it is, they call that. A hater, old-fashioned. If you have a business, they might quit coming to your business. But out of love. Not condemnation, but out of love. Share it. But share it with them and not with the world. Hear me, church? This is so important to share it out of love. It's love if you come to me. Steve, if you come to me and say, well, hey, Stark, come here. Hey, what you're doing, man, God loves you, but it's sin. Right here is the scripture, man. He don't want you to do that. You came out of love to me and shared that with me. Now, I reject it. I say, oh, I don't believe in that stuff. Well, I just want to let you know, God wanted me to tell you that. You did that out of love. You one-on-one. Okay? Hear me, church? That's what we need to do, one-on-one out of love. We don't stand up and say, well, that's Starkey. You know what he's doing? It's sin. No, you go one-on-one. Because otherwise, you're just going to embarrass somebody. And folks, everyone knows there's a God. People know inside, I don't care what they say, they know if they're in sin. Sin is there. Someone came to me one time and brought me the gospel. It made all the difference in my life. Out of love. And God wants us to do the same thing. But out of love. Not out of broadcasting, not out of a gossip station. You know? Check ourselves, are we? Do we find ourselves talking more about people than about the Lord? I always say, if you're getting ready to talk about somebody, you got to pray for them. If they're on your mind, God didn't put it on your mind for you to talk about them. He put you on the mind to pray for them. In verse 28, and just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do the things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice, and they are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil. Wow, inventors of evil. We see that multiplying everywhere. When you think you've seen it all, wait till tomorrow. There's more evil. Disobedient to parents. Woo! My land, that could be the billboard out on every highway. Disobedient to parents when God said to honor your mother and your father. Didn't say you had to approve what they did. Understand that. Love. Honor. And not to pray for them. Not to destroy them. Without understanding. Untrustworthy. Wow, can God trust you today? What He's given you. Are you trustworthy with it? Will it be your finances? Will it be the gospel? Would it be today or tomorrow? Are you trustworthy with it? Unloving, unmerciful. Why we see that? People won't forgive people. And although they know the ordinance of God that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. Hearty approval. Not just approval. Hearty approval. For those that are in sin, to give hearty approval for it. Do you do that? Don't answer me. Do you? Boy, I don't know what to do, Bonnie. I mean, I'll tell you what. She's my cousin, so I can pick on her. You know, I've been working this job for 4 years now, and well, my girlfriend, well, she gets Social Security, okay? And if I marry her, she'll lose that. So, you know, I don't care for the government. They're always taking from me all the time. And so, we're not going to get married. We're just going to continue to live together. Because I don't want to lose the money the government gives me. And Bonnie said, well, I don't blame you a bit. I get sick and tired of paying them taxes all the time. I get sick and tired of all that. I don't blame you. I don't blame you a bit. You guys just go right ahead. God understands.
No.
Well, don't let me lose you now, okay? She just gave, as a Christian, she just gave hearty approval to me living in sin.
Right.
See?
Yep.
But she needs to say, well, Star, I understand you're upset by the government and taxes and stuff like that, but you know, God is God. And you got to learn to trust Him. You're living in sin. They call it fornicating. And if you continue that, man, He says you won't see the kingdom of God. He wants you to trust Him. Why should I trust God? Because He loves you.
Yeah.
You open that, you know. And even though I thought, get out of here, you old fashioned, I'll tell you what. However it comes out, listen to me. However it comes out of love, you shared that to me. You didn't give hearty approval to it. Now, if you would say, well, I don't blame you a bit. Oh, I'll go on. I'm feeling pretty good because I just talked to a Christian woman. You know? And she approved it. She understands it. Well, I see her just go to church every Sunday and Thursday nights. She just gave me the approval. So I think I'm okay now. God gave you the opportunity to witness to me. And you did. Now, I might reject you. I never talk to you again. Here you are judging me. But, who knows? A year down the road, 2 years down the road, my life is just completely shattered. Wow. I remember talking to Bonnie. Well, we don't use rotary phones anymore. Hey, Bonnie, I need to talk to you. Even though I might have scorned you, rejected you, I knew God was talking through you. So it might be 2 years, 3, 5 years later before you see anything develop from selling that seed. It might be someone else that grabs that seed and go with it. But not for us to give hearty approval. And that's, again, we get in an area there where people say, well, don't judge me. Bible says don't to judge. And don't say that. I shared that before. It says righteously judge. Not condemn.
Right.
You judge all the time. You judge whether this dinner is going to be good after service today. Well, I think that chicken's too dry. Well, I think it could be too long. If he hadn't preached so long, it would be better than that. You know? So judging is part of it. It's condemning. It's what God is talking about. But we judge righteously. But the Bible does caution us to make sure we take the speck out of our log out of our eyes, or we take the speck out of our brothers. That way we can see clearer. Now, here's two more verses and I'll close for the day. Deuteronomy, I'm going to touch a couple of them here. 28, again, it's in your Bible. He said, now it shall be, if you diligently obey the Lord your God, if you diligently obey the Lord your God, Deuteronomy 28, verse 1, verse 2. Hey, buy the CD, hon. You'll find out where it's going at. I know. Now it shall be, this is God speaking to you, sitting at seat today. He hasn't changed a bit. If you diligently obey the Lord your God, being careful to do all His commandments for which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings will come upon you and overtake you if you obey the Lord your God. And Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, he says, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. So choose life in order that you may live, you and your descendants.
Amen.
By loving the Lord your God, by obeying His voice, and by holding fast to Him. For this is your life and the length of your days, that you may live in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. to give to them. And that's God's promise to us. Folks, we cannot go back and change the past.
Right.
Amen. If we could, there's so much things I could change. We only go forward. Doesn't matter where you're coming from today, it's where you go from today onward. God wants to be a part of your life. That's why He created you. His heart breaks when your heart breaks. He cries when you cry. We saw that where Jesus wept. Jesus was God in man form. God does not want to sit on the sidelines anymore watching your life. He wants you to invite Him into your game of life. Give Him the football, if you want to play football or whatever it might be. Put Him in charge. Today, just okay, God, I messed up in the past. I kind of walked with You, but I kind of did things myself. But today, God, I give it all to You. Maybe you're here today, you walked with Jesus for a while and you turned away. Turn back to Him today. Right where He's sitting, He said, Lord, just come into my life. You confessed and been baptized, but you've been backslidden. Come back to Him. But He does tell us this. Jesus says that if we accept Him, call upon His name, to allow Him to be our Savior and Lord, that we shall be saved. He said for us to acknowledge that in front of people. There's no closet Christians, He's saying. I've called you. I bought you with a price. He wants us to acknowledge Him in front of other people. If you're here today and you know, maybe you think about this God thing for a while, you've been thinking about Jesus, and you heard all this, but you just, you aren't sure about it. He's saying today is your day of salvation. If you're tired of the old life, doing it yourself, if you want to give God back control of man, of yourself, that He had in the beginning, if you want forgiveness of your sins, Jesus is here today to do that. If you'd ask Him. He died on the cross to pay the penalty of your sins. The choice is very clear. Either we receive the forgiveness, we receive that penalty He paid. The wage of your sin is death. Separation from God now. You can pray to Him all you want today, but the Bible says it doesn't go anywhere until you get born again. But the minute that you die, you're in hell. It's so sad for people to die and go to hell to pay a debt that Jesus already paid for. But we need to receive that forgiveness. Let Him save you from hell, but then let Him be Lord of your life to show you how awesome God is and how much He loves you. The Holy Spirit has been moving on you this morning and you want Jesus Christ to be your Savior and Lord. I invite you to come down here this morning to this altar. Just to come down. Say, Lord, I'm ready. I want You in my life like never before. And I'll pray with you. There's no magic words to say. But I will pray with you. That way you'll pray with me. You'll hear Your voice. You'll hear yourself committing yourself to the Lord. You'll hear that you've been forgiven sins. I was so blessed over this week that as a gospel call went out at a funeral I was doing for my cousin, my uncle heard it. In the middle of the cemetery, 85-year-old uncle of mine received Jesus Christ as his Savior and Lord. I stood there over the graves and prayed with him. And what a countenance change in his faith. Why? It wasn't what I did. As I was bringing forth his word, it touched his heart. And this morning, the Holy Spirit went out and he's touching people's hearts here today. And if my uncle could pray in the middle of the cemetery in front of people outside, you can do it here today at this altar. Don't let pride keep you back. Don't let, be embarrassed. No. Well, I've been coming here for years, and I go down the altar, people think, you weren't saved? That's Satan telling you that. It's between you and God. And Jesus said, man, acknowledge me publicly, I'll acknowledge you to my Father in heaven. So he's saying, is that you this morning? This altar's open. That door of opportunity is open today. He doesn't want any of us to perish. Father, I thank you for your word today. And Holy Spirit, I just pray that you continue to minister to the ones right now, God, that you're knocking on their hearts. You're saying, come. Out of love, you want them to come. God, we thank you that your word is alive. That it went forth today, God, it spoke to us in everyday language. Some this was documented 5,000 years ago that I spoke of today, God. But it's still alive. It still penetrates our hearts. It still gives us wisdom. It still blesses us, Lord. God, I just ask that when we leave here today, that this word will just be centered into our hearts, that we'll dwell on it, we'll research it, we'll reread these scriptures again, God, that your word will become the center of our life. That this purpose that you have for each one of us when we came into this world will be fulfilled. And God, I ask that your blessing to be upon each one gathered here this morning. Help us all, Lord, to make the decisions we must make in this world. Help us surrender pride. Help us to humble ourselves. Help us to think of others and to love people enough to share the gospel truth. And Father, to you be the glory this day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.